Joining us on the line right now is John Kenworthy, who is running as a Republican for 3rd Congressional District. John, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on, and I look forward to the opportunity to talking to your listeners.
No, man, I'm happy to have you here, and let's just start with some of the breaking stuff that's happening today. So we've got the impeachment articles been sent over to the Senate for Mayorkas. You've got calls for Speaker Johnson to step down. Let's say there's Representative Kenworthy sitting there in Congress. Where do you stand on these two issues?
Yeah, absolutely. The Senate needs to do its job. They need to have the trial. They need to look at the facts. I think it was correct that he was impeached, and I believe the facts showed that he wasn't following the law. As far as Speaker Johnson, it worries me where our party has gotten to, and I feel like yes, sometimes we disagree, but those are conversations that probably shouldn't be had in public every single time. And I feel like with instances like this, sometimes we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We don't have much time to prove to the American people that our way is the right way before the November election. And if we're infighting too much, they're not going to be listening to our ideas on how to fix things. They're going to be focusing on that infighting.
Now, I know that immigration is obviously going to be a central point for the upcoming presidential election, which obviously is going to impact congressional races. It's even impacting the Indiana gubernatorial race, as you've seen. You have a bit of a unique perspective in that your wife is not from the United States. So what's your stance on immigration and how this whole thing is unfolding?
Sure. So immigration is very important to me because of that personal connection, but also because I handled and advised for Senator Coates and Senator Braun on immigration policy for DHS and the State Department. I think that we should be welcoming people that want to come to this country the right way. They are a great value to our society. In some areas, we need workers, but it has to be the right way. We can't be allowing people to skip the line. And this isn't going to be a simple solution. It's not just secure the border. That's the most important piece of this puzzle, because we're also seeing drug smuggling and sex trafficking at the border. But there's more things that we need to do to fix the whole immigration system. We need to bring back, not just remain in Mexico, but remain wherever you are. If they're waiting to come in as an asylee, and they need to be coming in through ports of call, we need to defund sanctuary cities and ban the ability for states and cities to make laws like that. We need to tackle Mexico. Obrador down in Mexico has been getting billions of dollars in American foreign aid, while at the same time they're running a $130 billion trade deficit with us, and they haven't been helping. They've also been stealing water from the Colorado and the Rio Grande. They have not been a good neighbor, and we need to stop using the carrot with them and use the stick. We also need to change immigration laws. A couple months ago, some of my opponents and the news media, a lot of people were saying, we don't need to change any of the laws, we just need to enforce them. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's simply not true. If you look at the penalty for coming across the border illegally the first time, it doesn't say you have to deport that person. It can be as low as a $50 fine. I mean, I've literally gotten parking tickets bigger than that. So saying we don't need to change the laws is not correct. We also need to change a law dealing with who gets to set the number of asylees that come in each year. Yes, we want to help people that really need help, but not for economic migration. It's not our fault that your country isn't doing well. And the president should not be able to unilaterally set that number anywhere from 10,000 to 5 million if he wants. It should be a minimum number, and then each year the president should have to get approval from Congress. We also need to make sure that no illegal alien is allowed to vote in any election in this country, not local, not state, not federal. And finally, something that almost never gets talked about, and I've been talking about it since day one of the campaign, is we need to tackle visa overstays. The border might be the big topic, but people that come here on a visa or passport, they overstay, and they are here just as illegally as that person that walked across the Rio Grande. And some years, that's 40 to 50% of the illegal aliens that are in our country.
Again, we're talking with John Kenworthy. He is a Republican running for the 3rd Congressional District in the primary there. Since Obamacare became the law of the land, all of the promises pretty much with Obamacare have failed to come to fruition. As a result, the Democratic Party is pushing for even more government encroachment of health care. Where do you stand on that issue, and how would you reform the system?
100% no. I lost my health insurance because of Obamacare and had my hours cut because of Obamacare. I was still in college at the time, working my way through school. And, you know, like you said, none of the promises came true. We didn't get to keep our insurance. We didn't get to keep our plan. We didn't get to keep our doctor. That's what happens when the government gets too involved. Also, I've personally seen the alternative that the Democrats are promoting at the Veterans Affairs healthcare system and the Indian Affairs healthcare system. It does not work. We are not capable as a government of running something that big and making it work. We need to bring back more competition within the market. We need to cut down on crony capitalism within the market and collusion between insurance companies and healthcare networks. So that's the places where I would like to tackle healthcare costs, because it is ridiculous. And aside from inflation, it's one of the top costs that families are dealing with because of how much it has gone up since Obamacare.
Yeah, out-of-pocket is way higher than it used to be. Younglings out there don't realize that. But you did bring up inflation, so let's talk about the economy. Congress has limited ability, obviously, in steering the economy, but it has some ability, and they can support policy positions that will allow the free markets to work. We've seen issues with economic abuse, if you will, from too big to fail to what happened during COVID with big pharma, et cetera. You know, what type of economic policies could the constituents of the 3rd District expect Representative Kenworthy to support when he's in a member of Congress?
I'm always going to push for the free market. Yes, sometimes there needs to be guardrails on that. But whenever I evaluate legislation, my first question will be, who's benefiting from this? Because a lot of times we hear that, well, this is just a guardrail to protect people, and then you find out that there's a company on the other end lobbying for it because it's going to be a serious windfall for them. Also, we need a balanced budget. I hope and pray that we get a big red wave this election and we can get something like that passed, but I'm not too optimistic because, unfortunately, not everybody that goes to Congress is conservative like here in the 3rd District. You know, we have congressmen from California and Maryland and New York, and we're never going to get their votes. So we have to win these elections to make big changes. But until then, I have a plan to help cut spending. And that's by applying for the Armed Services Committee and the Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense, because defense is 60% of our discretionary budget. And my experience working for Senator Braun as his military legislative assistant and my experience in the Army gives me the knowledge and background to find places where we can make significant cuts without endangering our troops or hurting our capabilities in the mission.
So you mentioned your veteran status. I'm glad you did. I wanted to talk to you about something that has been very, very top on a lot of the 3rd District constituents. They're concerned about not just Israel and Gaza, but Iran. They're concerned about China. They are concerned about Ukraine. Where do you stand on those issues, in particular the funding of any operations in Ukraine going forward?
Sure, and this is where I differ from my competitors. They have all said not one more dollar. And I believe that specifically for Ukraine, Russia is not our friend. Not only did they violate a sovereign country, but they've been attacking the United States. They interfered with our 2016 election. I don't believe President Trump had anything to do with it, but it's irrefutable that they tried to interfere. They've been sponsoring hacking groups and criminals that hack our hospitals and hold them ransom, that hack our pipelines. These are having direct impacts on Americans here on the ground. It might not be a kinetic attack like a bomb, but they're just as meaningful. And we need to take this seriously, because whether or not we want to be in at least Cold War with them, they clearly are in a Cold War with us. Now, that being said, we need to prioritize things. It's one thing to understand that something might be in our interest and that there might be good that could come from us helping, but we have bigger problems, like with the border, and we have $34 trillion worth of debt. So when we find things like this, whether that's Ukraine or any foreign aid or emergency aid that comes up, we need to tighten our belts and find ways to pay for it. I like what President Trump suggested, to structure the support as a loan, or what Speaker Johnson suggested a while back with Israel, to bring offsets from other parts of the budget. So I do support them. I think that obviously things that don't cost a lot, intel, sending them weapons that we captured from the Houthis, things like that are no-brainers. But if we're talking about a bigger aid package, I would only vote for that and support that if it came with that offset or was structured as a loan.
All right, one final question for you. Where do you stand on the issue of abortion and the unborn, considering that is going to be a legislative battle probably in the next Congress?
I'm 100% pro-life. I believe that this, you know, it's great that we had Roe v. Wade overturned, but if you believe that this is one person infringing on the rights of another, so in this case, a woman infringing on the rights of the life inside her, the baby, by having an abortion, which is my belief, then it should be a federal law. And I don't know what the makeup of the House and Senate are going to look like, but I would vote for something like the pain-capable ban or the heartbeat ban, because I do believe that that's a person, and I believe that it should be something handled at the federal level. Aside from that, I also think that we need to be careful about how we attack and approach this issue, because these are women that are struggling, and a lot of it also has to do with poverty and single-family households and the breakdown of the family. We need to bring conservative solutions that get them away from even thinking about the possibility of doing this. And we also need to be promoting adoption.
All right. John Kenworthy, again, running as a Republican for the 3rd Congressional District in the primary. John, how can people learn more about your campaign and support you?
Sure. The best place is to visit my website, kenworthyforcongress.com. I have all the issues laid out there. Or you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, or Truth. And any question that you don't see on my website, ask me on one of those platforms, and I will answer.
All right, John Kenworthy, we appreciate your time. Best of luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Casey.
All right, take care.
Podcasts by Federated Media.